Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
This is how God speaks back to us as we take His word and as we hide it in our heart, as we go through life. The Holy Spirit then takes and He brings that to us. You know, some people don't feel like they should spend much time in the word. They never thought to memorize the scripture. And then they say, you know, God never speaks to me. It's not because He doesn't want to. You haven't really given Him the opportunity.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian completes his study in the book of Philippians. Join us as Pastor Brian begins his teaching on key verses in Philippians in a message titled, Words to Remember. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
We're going to be just kind of looking over some of the verses that have been kind of some key verses in Philippians. This is our last study in Philippians. It's a bit of a review. But today, I just want to look at some words to remember from Philippians. Now, what I mainly want to encourage us with today is just this whole idea of remembering. Now, the first psalm, blessed is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord, in His law. They meditate day and night. That person's going to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. They're going to bring forth their fruit in their season. The leaf is not going to wither. Whatever they do, it's going to prosper. I love Psalm 1. But there's also other passages that say similar things. So in Joshua, there's that great passage that says, this book of the law. And when it says the book of the law, you know, the word law, Torah, means instruction. So it's not just talking about the first five books of Moses. At the time of Joshua, it was, because that's all there was. But it's talking about the entirety of God's word. So this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. That's very similar to what we read in the first psalm. And perhaps David, when he was penning that first psalm, he was thinking about what Joshua had penned there, because of course Joshua would have been there as part of the scriptural text at the time of David. But that passage says, but you shall meditate in it day and night, and then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. And, you know, prosperity and success here is not like you're going to make a bunch of money and you're going to be famous and all of that, but it's talking about a prosperity of the soul. But then in the 119th Psalm, we have this, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. So again, hiding God's word in our heart, that's the memorization point. And then in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, that says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And so scripture memorization, that's what I want to encourage you in today. Scripture memorization is one of the greatest things we can do for ourselves and for others. Why? Because number one, Scripture works to sanctify us. You see, it's through God's word that the transformative work of the Spirit takes place. Jesus said in John chapter 17, as he's praying there for the disciples, and he's praying for even us, because he's praying for those who would believe in him because of their word. And he says this in the prayer. He says, Father, sanctify them through your truth. And then he adds this, your word is truth. And so sanctification is the work of being set apart and being conformed more into the image of Jesus. That happens through the influence of God's word. So scripture works to sanctify us. Scripture directs us. We get direction for our lives from scripture. We get sometimes it's a general picture of what God wants for our lives. But from scripture, we will get sometimes very specific direction as well. It's amazing how God can take his word, and in some cases from thousands of years ago, and he can speak a word that will give direction for our lives. And as we follow that direction, we find that's exactly where we needed to go. And it's exactly what God had planned for us. So it sanctifies us, it directs us, and it defends us from the enemy. So we have an enemy. We have an adversary, and he is the devil. And the devil is always working to try to undermine the work of God in our lives. How do I defend myself against the devil? Well, it's through the word. And remember, Paul says when he's talking about the topic of spiritual warfare in Ephesians chapter 6, you know, he's put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes, the plotting, the wiles of the devil. And what does he say there? He says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So it's through God's word that we are able to defend ourselves from the enemy. But also, so that's how, you know, scripture impacts us. But then it also, scripture memorization is going to help you minister to others as well. Why? Because scripture, according to Paul in 1 Corinthians 14:3, scripture speaks edification, encouragement, and comfort. And so scripture edifies people. And the word edify means it builds them up. And so the scriptures, as I hide the scriptures in my heart, and then I'm able to communicate them to other people, God will use me to build other people up. But then not only does scripture edify, it encourages. And you know the word encouraged, you know that that word, it means the idea. Think of the word courage for a moment. It means to strengthen with courage. That's the idea of encouragement. And this word here could also be translated exhortation. Sometimes it's translated that way, to exhort. And to exhort is to encourage, but it's a little bit stronger. It's to, you know, like, hey, come on, you know, we can do this. Come on, you can do this. It's that sort of a thing. And the word of God does that. It comes to us and it speaks that encouragement to us. Maybe we're discouraged. Maybe we're without courage. And the word of God comes along and it bolsters us up and it strengthens us. And the word of God also comforts. And so it's through the scriptures that comfort comes. And we're able, because of the comfort that God gives us, as Paul says in writing to the Corinthians, because of the comfort we've received, we're able, as we hide God's word in our hearts, we're able to comfort other people as well. And then finally, just about scripture, we need to remember this. Scripture is either the gospel itself. Of course, the gospel, the good news, is contained in scripture, and it's all over scripture. So scripture is either the gospel itself, or it is a signpost to the gospel, and the gospel is the power of God to salvation. So that's why scripture memorization is so important. So that is my introduction, and that is really the essence of what I wanted to say today. So we're just going to walk back through these verses. I want to read them, and what I'm doing is I want to encourage you to memorize these verses. But let's go right here. Philippians 1:6. This, again, this is a passage that I think I learned very early on in my Christian life, but it's a great word, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Wow, that is such a great word of assurance, isn't it? God finishes what he starts. And so what did he start? He who has begun a good work. And Paul could say to the Philippians, I am confident of this very thing. He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Isn't that great? It is so good to know. And you know, there are other passages that are parallel. And so sometimes it's great when you get a passage like this to also go to some of the parallel passages in different places and commit them to memory as well. So here's another great one in Hebrews. It tells us that Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith. So it's basically saying the same thing, right? He began a good work. He's the author. He's going to complete it. He's the finisher of our faith. So that is a great verse to commit to memory. Verse 21 of chapter 1, again, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Wow. I mean, you think about this verse, and it's such a great verse on purpose, and it's a great verse on hope. So purpose is for me to live as Christ. What is life about? Well, life for the Christian is about Christ ultimately and primarily. And so like Paul said, when I think about life, what is life to me? Life is Christ. And everything about my life, I want it to point in the direction of Christ. I want it to be centered on Christ. I want it to revolve around Christ. That's what the Christian life is about. But then to die is gain. So for Paul, what an amazing hope. And remember, as we studied this, remember, Paul was in prison when he wrote this, and he was not certain that he was going to ever get out of prison. He was well aware of the fact that he might have been condemned to death, and yet he wasn't at this point. He was later. But for Paul, it was to die is gain. To die is gain, because to die is to enter into the fullness. We are transformed totally and completely into the image of the heavenly man who is Christ. Let's move on into chapter 2. And this is that great passage in chapter 2, verses 5 through 7. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And remember, Paul is to the Philippians here. He's talking to them about, you know, there was some selfish ambition. There was some self-interest to the neglect of the interest of others and things. Paul's saying, let's not have that among us. Let's actually have the mind of Christ. And so the mind of Christ is what? Being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. I love it. One of my favorite passages. But let me read it to you from the NIV. The NIV translates this passage in a way that I think is extraordinary. I actually think it is the best translation there is of Philippians 2, verses 5 through 7. And let me read it. And this is one that I have, even in my older age, I've committed myself, I'm going to memorize this one. Because when I refer to Philippians 2, I want to refer to it in the way the NIV does. It says this, having the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, oh, I love that, it's so clear, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. Wow, that just makes it so clear what Paul is calling us to. And this is the way to live life in the context of your own home, in the context of your community, in the context of your job, and in the context of your fellowship, the church that you're in. So let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Then in the second chapter, we also have that great passage there in verses 12 and 13. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And these verses here are, again, they're so amazing because on the one hand, they tell us our responsibility, but on the other hand, they assure us that God is going to give us what we need to do the thing that he calls us to do. So what does he call us to do? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. The idea there is with reverence and awe. You know, we stand in awe of the Lord. We revere him, and he's saved us, and he's put his life in us. And now we are to work out what God has worked in. And we do that by seeking the Lord, by meditating on his word, hiding it in our hearts, obeying it, living out these things as the opportunities arise to serve and to do these different things, to love and forgive and all of that. That's working out of the salvation that he's worked in. But then the great reminder that we're not doing this on our own, but it is God who is working in us. God is working in us, and both to will and to do. That's so powerful, because what it's telling us is that God is not just giving us the strength to do it. God is changing our hearts by the power of his Spirit in such a way as to give us the will to do it, the desire to do it. You know, there are some cases where we know what we're supposed to do, and yet I don't want to do that. But as God works in you, he changes our wills. He changes our hearts. And sometimes that happens immediately, and sometimes it's through a process. And so we have to be patient with one another, because it is a process. But remember that God is working in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. Like I said, this is the human responsibility, work out your own salvation, the divine element, God is working in you to will and to do. It's sanctification is a cooperative thing. Justification, which brings us into a right relationship with God, is only cooperative in as much as I have to say, save me. That's my part in justification. Save me, Lord. I'm a sinner. That's it. But when it comes to sanctification, which is, like I said earlier, it's the life of Christ being formed in us. It's being made more like Jesus as time goes on. This is where we cooperate with the Lord. We work at it. We check our attitudes and our thoughts and our behaviors, and we say, that needs to change. And then we fall back on the Lord. Lord, help me to change, because you're working in me to will and to do of your good pleasure. And then we'll jump into chapter 3, just one verse from chapter 3. And there were many other verses, like I said, that we could have looked at. But here's that great verses 13 and 14. Forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This is one of the great, amazing things about the Christian life, is that God, by his grace, he forgives us so thoroughly of our sins and our failures that we can forget the things that are behind. We can forget the things that are behind. Never forget that the man who wrote this letter had formerly been a persecutor of Christians. Man, talk about having to possibly carry some baggage around because of your past. Paul had a past where he persecuted people who believed in the name of Jesus. He tells us that he actually compelled people to blaspheme. He cast his vote against people when they were put to death. That is serious baggage to have to carry around. But Paul understood how thorough the grace of God was. So he could say, because he had learned to do it himself, forgetting the things that are behind. God's washed us so clean that we can move on. We don't have to lug that baggage around. We can just leave it behind, forgetting the things that are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the upward call of God. Pressing toward the goal. What about the past? Forgetting the things that are behind. Now, chapter 4, great passage. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That is one of the greatest promises in the Bible, isn't it? Don't worry about anything is the way the New Living Translation starts it. Don't worry about anything. Instead of worry, pray and let your request be made known to God with thanksgiving, and then the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds. You know, there's many things that we could worry about. There's things that we can worry about personally. There's things that we can worry about as we look around us at the world that we live in. But as Jesus said, who by worrying can change anything? What do? No, we pray. We pray. And we can bring everything to God in prayer. And like I said, remember, we're talking here about memorizing these verses. Because when you start to worry, like I do, when I start to fret, when I start to stress out, what do? I remember, wait, be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about everything, but pray. And these words come back to me and they remind me of what I am to do. Two more really quickly. Chapter 4, verse 13. We looked at this. We looked at all the other ones, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Wow, what a great promise. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And of course, the context of this is I can do all things that Christ calls me to. Some people rip it out of context. You know, I've seen people who aren't even really following Christ, but they say, well, this sounds like a good promise. I'm gonna lay hold of this. I can win the championship through Christ who strengthens me, or I can make $1 million through Christ who strengthens me. Well, that's not the application. The application is I can, whatever situation the Lord, you know, leads me into, however difficult, however challenging, I can handle it because Christ is the one who strengthens me. I can do all things. And in the context, Paul is saying, maybe you remember, he says, I know how to have a lot and I know how to have nothing. I know how to be prosperous and successful and I know how to be humbled as well. He said, I can do all of that through Christ who strengthens me. And then the final one, verse 19 of chapter 4, and my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And again, these are the things that as we go through life, as we go through difficulty, as we go through times of maybe, you know, financial hardship, and we wonder, how are we going to make it? How are we going to survive? And we then, oh yeah, my God shall supply all of your needs, Paul says. And I can say, Lord, you're going to supply our needs. And you see, this is how God speaks back to us. As we take his word and as we hide it in our heart, as we go through life, the Holy Spirit then takes and he brings that to us. You know, some people don't feel like they should spend much time in the word. They've never thought to memorize the scripture. And then they say, you know, God never speaks to me. It's not because he doesn't want to. You haven't really given him the opportunity. But you find you get yourself in the word and you start committing scripture to memory. Maybe you're saying, but you know, I have the worst memory. Hey, don't worry about that. God is able. He's able to help you. You just put forth the effort. And then you will find that God is speaking to you all the time. Those scriptures are coming back to mind. You're in the midst of something and all of a sudden you're like, boom, this passage comes to your mind. And you're like, oh yeah, that's what I'm supposed to do right here. That's how God speaks to us and guides us through his word. So in closing and in finishing Philippians, I'm just praying that we will all go away with the many, I think, great lessons we've learned about the power of the gospel, but then taking these truths and hiding them in our hearts so we can continue to move forward in our lives as Christians. Man, the world right now, it's always the case, but right now, I think it's a little more evident. Boy, the world needs Jesus. And the world needs the church to be the church, not the church that maybe it has been historically at times. The world needs the church to be the church that the Bible tells us about, the church that is the church of Jesus Christ, because Jesus is being seen in the church. And as we let the words of Christ dwell richly in us, then the things we say and the things we do will show the world Christ, because they will be his words and his life flowing out of us.
For the month of October, Back to Basics Radio is offering a book titled The Powers of Darkness and the People of God by Pastor Brian. With all the chaos, unrest, and uncertainty in our world, behind it all is the unseen realm where a spiritual battle is being waged. And this spiritual battle not only affects the world collectively, but even our lives individually. This month's book, The Powers of Darkness and the People of God by Pastor Brian, will give you an understanding of the battle that is raging behind the scenes. You will understand the enemy who is waging war against you, his tactics, and how you can be equipped to emerge victorious. As people of God, we must be aware of the spiritual battle we're all involved in, the sophisticated ways in which we're constantly being attacked, and the provision for victory we have in Jesus. If you want to be equipped for the spiritual battle we're engaged in, or to be able to help others become equipped, we encourage you to call us right now at 1-800-733-6443 or visit us online at backtobasicsradio.com to order The Powers of Darkness and the People of God by Pastor Brian. And when you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you this book as our way to say thank you. We do appreciate your generous support of this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll continue next time with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we begin a new series in the book of Hebrews. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.